Last Sunday, I had the privilege of speaking at the university. I got asked to speak on discipleship for the Foreign Students Fellowship here in the city. It's interesting because this is an area that I have recently been processing with the eldership, talking about, and with the pastoral staff, talking about what that looks like. What does discipleship look like? Now, of course, you will say, Of course, that's your job as an eldership and as pastors. You're supposed to talk about these things. But the funny thing is, while that's our kind of like our main job, there's so many other things that are our main job. And so it's easy to forget. Leads me to the question, what exactly is discipleship? What does it look like? And what is my role in that? And for that matter, what is your role? Clearly, we're called to disciple. We're told this in our key passage this morning that we're going to look at very shortly. These are the last words of Matthew recorded, the last words that Matthew records of Jesus. We know Jesus talks more after this. We find this in the other Gospels of Jesus meeting with the disciples. We have him at the as he ascends up into heaven. But Matthew leaves those other words aside. He decides to end his story on these words. It's as if he's underlining them. He could have finished somewhere else, but he decided, no, this is where I want to have the listener end, on these words of Jesus. So this, for those of you who are visiting, the reason I'm sticking that to the wall is if you look around, this is the lifeline, the timeline of Jesus. The arrow comes from eternity. He always was. And he came and he descended, came to earth, and he lived at earth, and he died, and then he rose again and continues on into eternity. That's our Jesus. He's God. Always was, always will be. And so I've just positioned that over there where we think these words were spoken in regards to the time of Jesus. Let's look at these words. It's from Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Matthew 28, 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything. Everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I've read these words over us every Sunday this year as we have gone out into the world. We want to dig into these words specifically this morning to understand a little deeper what it is that you are saying. These are your words, Lord, and we give you the right to speak over us so that we may learn from you, you who is our Creator. We bless you and we thank you for this gift of your words. May we hear them this morning. Amen. So, again, this is not the first time you've heard these words. You've heard me read them every Sunday as I end my message and send you out. But you also heard me speak to this in October last year. This is a message you've heard before, but I've written it again. Let's see if you can pick up on how much we covered. I've shared how this passage captures the diversity of the church. Here's an expression of that. Do you remember this from a year ago? We put the missions board up. And we shared how, as a church, we want to commit to journey together. that God has sent us all on mission. And for these people here, we want to partner with them, and we do. And so super exciting, we've just about finished our financial year as a church, and we've crunched the numbers, and Peter has said, yes, there's enough money there, we can honour our pledge. We said that we would give 5% of our giving, on top of our giving, we would make that a gift to these missionaries. And so we've been able to honour that. We did half earlier in the year, and we've just been able to, in faith, looking at our projected numbers for the financial year, say yes, and so we're paying that through as well, which is really good. So thank you. Thank you that you have honoured what you put your hand up and said, yes, here's a target for us as a church. Here's where we want to go, to partner with God and his mission. And so really wonderful that we've been able to do that. In this passage, we have a wonderful reflection of the church. We have the evangelist, we have a pastor, we have teachers, prophets, and mission. Rachel, I'll get you to go to the next one, thanks, and you can hold it there. I believe this is a really, really good model of discipleship. It holds all these elements together, not seeking to act on just one, but all of them. You've got the charismatic. Have we gone too far? Go back again? Is there one before that? Nope, let's go forward again. Okay, let's hold it there. All right, we'll stick with this one. So we'll go one more, actually. Let's go one more. I should have the remote there. And again. And again. And again. No, it's not there. Okay, let's go back. I've missed one. Never mind. So let's go right back to, we'll go to teaching. So a charismatic reads this passage, and they get super excited. They see all authority in heaven and earth has been given. And they think, authority, power, wow. And then they see this other part at the end. Surely I'm with you always. Ah, the promise of the Holy Spirit. Awesome. I have a confession to make. If you haven't picked up on this before, I'm a charismatic. I believe, see that fist pump there, awesome. I believe that we as a church, as in the whole church, we need to be charismatic. Now, what does that mean? Is that there somewhere? What that means is that we believe in the charisma of the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Holy Spirit is present, that he's not locked in the past, that this promise is true, that he is with us, and that makes a difference. That's what a charismatic believes. The Holy Spirit is present and makes a change to the way we act, that we are empowered by the charisma, the power of the Holy Spirit. So I get excited by this. There's more. Teachers, this one. This same church that believes and practices that the Holy Spirit is with us, it teaches us to rely on the power of God to teach people the words of Christ. If you were to walk into a church today, you would hope that the person speaking is not just speaking their own opinion, but they are seeking to draw on the power of the Holy Spirit, having him teach us through his word and through the people that he has placed in those positions. Theologians love this passage. This is where the Holy Spirit and the Father and the Son are revealed to us as Trinity. Nowhere in Scripture do we find the word Trinity. Here it is revealed. Here it is revealed, described to us. So theologians, they get super excited. There it is! There it is! There we find the fullness of God described as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then we have pastors in the church who will walk with these disciples as they grow into maturity, holding one another accountable to live a life that a disciple is called to. And then in the church, we have those who call each other into a role of mission. Because the same church who acts and believes in the power of God is driven to mission. These disciples go. That is the area that we'll be looking at this morning. Not in isolation from these other parts, but in light of their context. These words of Christ calling the disciples to go in verse 19. I have a daughter who teaches English, so she knows all about prepositional verbs. Is there such a thing? And nouns. Okay, there you go. See, she knows. I have no idea. I really don't. And all these other technical terms. But don't worry. I'm not going to let my ignorance stop me from breaking down today's word into a English level. In fact, I'm going to use a couple of technical words as if I know what I'm talking about. Scholars actually call this go in this passage, as a present participle. Wow. Meaning it's a go, not spoken as if I'm here, now you go. No, rather as one saying, go, 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 like you'd say to somebody on a race. They're already going, and you're saying, go, go, go. It's not a command to start going, but to keep going. This is reinforced by where these words are spoken. They're not spoken from the familiarity of the temple. It was not spoken in the safety of the upper room, in their home. It's not even spoken in Israel. Rather, it's spoken in Galilee, outside of Israel. It's spoken as the disciples go, as they have gone. They are already on mission, and they're not alone. Jesus is with them. Jesus is brilliant. I mean, this shouldn't be a surprise to you. This is where and what a real leader does. A good leader leads from the front. Jesus is not standing at the church door and pushing them out. He's gone with them. This is where I love different languages can capture the fullness of Christ's words. English doesn't cut it, really, I find, for this passage. This is where I think Chinese actually can capture the original context of the Greek better than the English. So I'm going to give you a Chinese lesson. You see, I think Jesus is not saying Zola. Thank you, Rachel. Once more. There you go. I don't think he's saying Zola. I think he's saying Zoba. Everyone say Zoba. It means that we're going together. If I say Zola, it means ni Zola, you go. But if I say Zoba, we're going. We're going together. So here's my question to you. What is Manurewa Baptist Church Zoba? What's our let's go together? Well, firstly, do you see this passage as instructive? Is this instructive for us? I have a really simple question for you. Who decides what happens with your life? Is it you or your creator? Now, you could say, hey, settle down, Lyndon. You're coming on too strong. I don't come to church to be told what to do. If that's what you're feeling, I get you. I understand. I sometimes feel like that too. But hear me on this. That's our flesh speaking. That's our broken, sinful perspective responding. Magnified by our Western worldview that says, I will determine what is true for me. I will decide what to do with my life. In our brokenness, we try to rule our life. We still want to be in charge. Listen when I say, these words that we're looking at this morning are not my words. These are the words of Christ Jesus, the creator of the universe, the one who has always been and always will be. Wise, wise beyond our understanding. Loving, loving beyond our imagination. Desiring nothing, nothing but good for us. This Jesus, our Lord, he reminds the disciples who's boss. I'm in charge, he says. Over you, who is on earth, and over heaven, the very angels will do my bidding. All authority has been given to me, and I say, I command, go. Go. Your Savior, the one whom you love, the one who you serve, the one who watches over every detail of your coming and going. He says, go. This command, gosh, we don't like that language. We are too modern and too liberated to understand the joy that comes from being obedient. But that's what this is, a command. This command is bookended by two pillars. One we've just considered, that Christ sends us with all his authority. The other pillar that will ensure the ultimate success of this mission, he not only sends us, he goes with us. Now, if you think that you're too young, too busy with parenting, far too many responsibilities, not effective enough in communication, too old, too tired, and therefore think that this passage couldn't possibly be speaking to you, well, this promise that Jesus gives is given to the end of the age. Do you still have a heartbeat, be it fast or slow? Yes? Then has the end of the age arrived for you? If the answer is no, then we still have Christ with us. His presence that has been given for a purpose. To do all this. All the impossible stuff. Again, if you think you're too old, or if you think they're at that stage of life where you can't possibly fit it in, if you claim you can't do this, then either one of two things are going on. Either Jesus lied, or I'm not being obedient. Which do you think it is? So again, what is our Zoba at church? The following I offer, not because it is the answer, rather it is our attempt to respond to Christ's call to disciple. Our faith is not a paint-by-number system. Here you go. Here's the cute picture. You remember these? It told you exactly what to do. Some of you are going, no, I haven't seen one of these before. Each area is marked with a number. And then down the bottom, it tells you what that number should be in regards to what color you should be painting it. This is not how God tells us to live. He gives us far more freedom. There's such freedom within the body of Christ. And that freedom is protected because we live under the leading of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you an example from Scripture of the different ways that the Holy Spirit leads us into mission. You may have seen this on the download that I did a couple of weeks ago. When we look at how God sent his disciples on mission, we see that they're led in many different ways. Sometimes it was through prayerful planning by the church leadership. We find this in Acts chapter 13. Other times it was by invitation and or recommendation of a specific person. And yet at other times it was by supernatural events. We find this in Acts, where Peter is supernaturally moved from one place to another to engage with the Ethiopian eunuch. By whatever form, be it supernatural to our eyes or by careful planning, these happen all as a result of the outworking of the Holy Spirit. These people were charismatic. They allowed the Spirit to move them. So, at NBC, we teach. Every Sunday, we have this, preaching, and we make it available online. But 25 minutes on a Sunday, it's not discipleship. Yes, it's part of discipleship, an important part, I believe, but not the whole. So where else does discipleship happen? Well, like most churches, we have home groups. And in those home groups, we have a hope that you put into practice prayer and the opening of the Word of God and developing of trusting relationships. Good, good, but again, I don't think this is the fullness of discipleship. As a church, we offer a number of faith first steps. To do this, we use, one more Zoe, Rachel, thanks. To do this, we use the Alpha program. Right now, we have one operating during the day for ladies in the Wonder Mums setting. Great, but this is not the whole. We offer those who've decided to follow Jesus a place to understand and experience baptism. And again, if this is an area you want to know more about, then let me know. And good, it's good, but if that is the end of our faith journey, it would not be discipleship. We offer more steps. Currently, one of those has been called Building a Faith Toolbox. We look at the different ways God speaks and leads us and how these are given as tools for us to discern. What is truth? Who is God? Great, great, but on its own, this is not discipleship in its fullness. Another discipleship step is mission, the mission of going, the action of going. We at NBC are seeking to develop this as a program. And again, if you looked at last week's download, you would see that we're exploring a trip to China, where we hope to be able to take a team over. And we've been invited by a setting there to participate in some really great activities. Great opportunity for you to put missional practice into place. We want to do this locally as well. This is because from personal experience, I know that putting myself in a setting outside that of my own can help me better practice in my home setting upon my return. Because we're already on mission. All of us, you are already on mission. Going to our work, going to our place of study, going to our neighbours. What we need to do is learn to do this going with more intentionality. I want to draw your attention to the order that Christ spoke these instructions from our passage this morning. The very first step he calls his disciples to do is to go. Thanks, Rachel. I'll get you one more, please. We'll just hold it there. Thank you. All these steps that we've just looked at, too often we plan the other way. We try to have all these steps completed. And then when we are confident to go, then we go. Do you see that when we do this, that we're placing our confidence in ourselves rather than God? I think some of the best missionaries are new Christians. Have you ever noticed that? And do you know why? It's because they go. They go and they tell their friends. With the little they have learnt and experienced, they go. I am more and more convinced that discipleship happens through movement. Sorry, Rachel, back one. You see, at any time, if a person becomes stuck at any of these points, they are no longer truly engaged in discipleship. They have become enamored by a program. The program has become their religion. Any and every stage of our faith journey has and is valuable. But if we hold on to that in isolation, it stops us from moving, from going, from the journey of the next step. In and of themselves, each of these steps are good, but they are not the gospel, the wholeness of the gospel, the good news. The gospel is Jesus, and the Spirit of Jesus is on the move. I think there is a challenge there for us as a church. We must seek to do all these elements of discipleship. We must preach. We must teach. We must baptize. Not from a static position, but rather as we are going on to the next. We need to learn to respond and rely on Christ and on his authority that he tells us about in verse 18. We go because of his authority, not our own ability. Remember, we are his disciples. It's about and for him. The person of Christ is the reason we go. Now, all of this of what we have to do, well, quite frankly, it's overwhelming. 2,000 years ago, the 11 disciples stood on a mountaintop in the province that was already outside their own home, with their backs to all that they knew and understood, family, work, culture, and they were given an impossible task. Today, you think going is scary or hard for you. How do you think they felt, this 11, given the task to change the world? Well, today we stand as evidence and in the fruit of their obedience. Today we too are called to respond in kind, to respond with obedience. If you are a Christian, then by default, at some point, you stepped, you went, and by doing so, you have moved closer to Jesus. But can I ask, have you arrived at Jesus in the wholeness of who he is, the fullness of who he is, and where he is? Are you still walking? I, for one, after 45 years of being a Christian, haven't arrived. Now, maybe I'm a slow learner. And maybe you're just a whole lot quicker. And you can say, yes, I've arrived. There's no need to disciple me. But that's not my story. I desperately need Christ to still disciple me, because there are so many other things that move me instead of Christ. What moves you? What do you move for? Is it your children? Are they the most important thing in your week? Is their preparation for success and ability to fit in this world the thing that motivates you? Is it your pursuit of higher education or advancement in your workplace? Do you study or train or practice for self-development? Or because Christ wants you there as part of his discipling you and to use you in discipling those around you? What moves you? Do you want to move to a better street, a better job, a better school? Right now, so many Christians are selling in Auckland and moving to the provincial towns. Is it God leading them or the property market? Is it the opportunity to live a more comfortable life? Or is it God actually moving them because he has a plan for their good and the good of those they will encounter? What moves you? Will you allow these words of Christ to move you? What's your next step? Could it be as simple as memorizing scripture? I know, it's a foreign concept. Or joining a community group, getting involved where God is already at work, getting baptized or receiving Jesus for the first time, or a prayer request. Today I pray that everyone present will take their next step, the one that takes them on the mission that he has prepared for you. So this morning I'm challenging you. Are you moving or are you standing still? Finally, can I say all this? This is not a have to. You don't have to follow Jesus. It's a we get to. We get to serve and grow in intimacy with Jesus. What a
privilege.
I want to finish with why we go. Let me read to you from Romans chapter 10. It's from the Message translation. But how can people call for help if they don't know who to trust? And how can they know who to trust if they haven't heard of the one who can be trusted? And how can they hear if nobody tells them? And how is anyone going to tell them unless someone is sent to do it? That's why Scripture exclaims, a sight to take your breath away, grand possessions of people telling all the good things of God. But not everybody is ready this, ready to see and hear and act. As I asked, what we are all asking at one time or another. Does anyone care, God? Is anyone listening and believing a word of it? The point is, before you trust, you have to listen. But unless God's word is preached, there's nothing to listen to. And I would add, if you don't go, if you don't move, who will hear? Let's pray. God, I want to thank you that I get to go. This is what you have done for me. You sent someone to me by the power of your Spirit, and they shared your story. They introduced me to you. I wasn't smart enough to work it out on my own. This is something that you revealed by your Spirit. And for that I say thank you. The same Spirit, it invites us to share this story. It's an incredible privilege, Lord. As has been shared a couple of weeks ago, we're not offering some manky cake. This is something that is rich, beautiful, amazing. This is the best that can be offered. You. We offer you. We don't just offer something temporal, something that's just going to sustain us for this one moment. No, we offer a God that is always with us, an opportunity to know you. Thank you for that privilege, Lord. Thank you for your promise that you're with us. And through your strength, not our own, through your cleverness, not our own, through your righteousness, not our own, we can go and reveal you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus.